And calling home this week is Emily Wolfe in Oxford. Emily's Auckland-born, grew up in the inner-city suburb of Freeman's Bay, went to Auckland Girls Grammar. She moved to London more than 20 years ago now and is a painter of international renown, exhibiting mainly here and in the UK. She's the daughter of writer Richard Wolfe and artist Pamela Wolfe and a graduate of the Elam School of Fine Arts. Then she was off on a scholarship to the prestigious Slade School of Fine Arts at University College London. These days, it's Oxford. Her husband, Ian's a professor of Irish history there. They live in an old Victorian house with a daughter named Iris and a cat called Ramona. And they've been there for a couple of years now, but Ian used to commute from London. Kia ora, Emily.
Kia ora.
You've been in Oxford for a couple of years now. And before that, you spent 20 years in London. Do you miss the big smoke, or does Oxford suit you, the slower pace of life?
Yes, I miss London. We all miss London, Ian and my daughter Iris. I mean, Oxford is lovely. It's a really beautiful city. But I think we were quite settled there, even though Oxford is only 80 miles away. I mean, it's 45 minutes on the train. It's not far, but it was harder than I thought.
Yeah, for the normal reasons, nothing against Oxford sort of thing.
Nothing against, no. I mean, it's beautiful.
Aside from the dreaming spires of Oxford, what are its attractions?
There's 38 colleges here, and they each have, you know, really beautiful gardens and parks and all of that kind of stuff.
You're close to that traditional, idyllic English countryside with quaint villages in the Cotswolds, aren't you? Do you get out there much at all?
It's not something I do often. I'm sort of happier in a city. So, you know, occasionally we'll go out there for a walk in the afternoon or something, but not often. But yeah, I mean, if you're coming this way, it's definitely, it's beautiful out there.
Yeah, I suppose everybody traipses out there. All right, well, in Oxford itself, is history palpable, as they say? I mean, do you think you're walking where giants trod, you know, Lewis and Tolkien and Jane Austen and Hugh Grant, whoever else has come through? do you get that feeling?
I think when we first moved here, yeah, it did feel like that. And, you know, it's lovely at the moment because all the students are back. So for the last couple of years, it's just been deserted and it was such a weird place to be. It's lively when they're here. You know, it's got real energy about the place.
Yeah, of course.
So, yeah, I mean, it definitely feels quite different to any other sort of city, I suppose, because of that.
It's, as you say, it's not far from London, is it? It's quicker than getting from Auckland to Hamilton. So do people commute, actually?
I think they do. I think they do. I mean, when Ian first got the job here, we did think that maybe he would just commute. But we're in East London, which is, you know, it's 45 minutes, 50 minutes into London from here. But then, you know, it takes that long again to get across to the other side of London. So, but people do. I mean, it must be pretty awful doing that day in and day out.
Well, some Aucklanders even do a version of that. Your large Victorian house is falling apart and freezing. Aside from that, does it have charm?
Oh, it's totally charming. It's really charming. It's just, it's impractical. So we've got, there's a mini heat wave here, which means that it's, I don't know, 25 degrees. And I'm in the dining room, which is in the sort of semi-basement, and it's, you know, even when it's 25 degrees, it's still quite cold.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, it's a really lovely old house, but, you know, bits of it are falling off, I think, and it's sort of a life's work putting it back together. It seemed like quite a good idea at the time, but I'm sort of rapidly running out of interest. It's too big a job, but it's you know, it's nice, and we've got lots of space, so yeah.
Lots of space to run around and try and keep warm in.
Yeah Well, it's sort of a tall, narrow house. I think there's something like 65 stairs from the kitchen up to the top floor.
Okay.
So it keeps you fit. I mean, basically I'm just running up and down stairs all day.
That would keep you fit. Oxford house prices are pretty much on a par with London. Well, at least at least you'll be prepared for the New Zealand housing market if you ever decide to come back.
I know. I keep hearing about that.
We'll talk about happier topics. Emily Wolfe is talking to us from Oxford. When you set out for the UK all those years ago on a big scholarship, did you ever think you'd still be over there 20 years later, more than 20 years later?
Yes, maybe. I mean, I first came to London when I was 9, and we were there for about a month, and I just thought it was the most exciting city. And I remember going back to New Zealand and just thinking, I'm not quite sure what I'll do when I grow up, but I know I'd like to live in London. I liked living there from the minute I arrived.
That's lucky, actually. That's lucky. People don't always find that when they go to places.
No. It'll be 25 years next year. And, you know, ideally I'd like to find a way of being able to spend more time each year in New Zealand. But, you know, it's tricky to divide your time between two places. But, you know, I still live in hope that maybe at some point I will manage that.
I assume you've been back a bit, if not a lot, over the years.
Yeah, I have, Jim, but I haven't been back for maybe 6 years.
6 years now.
Yeah, 5 or 6. Next year, definitely next year, I think.
Can we talk about your art, which I feel a bit nervous doing because I'm by no means an art critic, but you like putting discarded objects and sheets of paper, for example, into paintings, which otherwise could be pretty landscapes. Well, they still are pretty landscapes in the style of the old masters. Why did this technique first appeal to you?
So with these paintings, I'm using reproductions of well-known 17th, 18th century landscapes. And they're, you know, sort of cut up and collaged and put back together and painted.
I am curious about what that does for us when we look at those works of yours, those elegant landscapes with bric-a-brac and little bits of things. what do you want it to do for us? I saw, for instance, I think it's sold, a nice river running through a wood. It looked very idyllic. And a small ladder with its green paint flaking off, propped up against the painting within a painting, as if to say, hey, include me. I'm here. Look at me as well.
I think I found that on the side of the road. I think I was cycling somewhere and that was just sort of, you know, sitting outside someone's house. I couldn't resist taking it. Yeah.
You said you are essentially urban. You're also you're also fascinated by interiors, aren't you? The way light shines into houses and the look of fabrics we don't typically pay attention to often. And the beauty of the mundane, I think, someone in the New Zealand Herald said about your work. So you like being inside. You're an inside sort of person?
Yes. Yeah, I think that might be why London suited me quite well. I enjoy a walk outside, but I would probably rather be inside in the studio if I had the choice.
At the same time, you're possibly like everyone else who goes away from New Zealand. You'd miss our great outdoors, though, in a way.
I do. I really miss the coast. That's what I miss. So I think Oxford, someone said to me recently, Oxford is the furthest point from the sea in country. I mean, there's rivers that run through it, which makes a bit of a difference, but it's the coast I miss more than anything. Yeah, access to the beach.
You have a little studio. Where do you paint?
So I've got a studio it's about 5 minutes walk from my house.
Okay.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
Your mum, Pamela, is also a famous painter, often of large flowers, as people will know. She went to Elam as well. Your dad, Richard, has written or had a hand in writing nearly 40 books on New Zealand art, history and culture. Your parents have worked together on books. So was your life course charted from the get-go, or did you ever think of seriously about doing something else?
It took me a long time to end up at art school. I started doing an English degree, an art history degree, and then ended up at Elam. And actually, Mum and Dad are here at the moment. It's really nice.
Oh, that's good.
I haven't seen them for 2 years, so they're actually here. It's lovely. I guess it seems like a normal thing to do when that's what everyone in your family seems to be doing, making art or writing.
So this is a happy time for you with the folks there.
Oh yeah, it's lovely. It's really nice. Yeah.
Speaking of happy, in the Oxford Mail,
yes.
Your newspaper, happy news this week from Oxfordshire. And the writer, this is a column, and the writer highlights hopeful, happy and heartwarming stories to appreciate from the past 7 days. And there were quite a few. Someone saved the life of a fox. A small girl was chosen to be in Britain's Got Talent. You're getting a new pizza restaurant. So the so the university doesn't completely dominate life. It's not some heavy historical presence brooding over the town, or is it?
Well, I don't know. I don't read the Oxford Mail. And
you should. It's full of happy news.
Maybe that's a good answer. Maybe that's what I need. I need to stop listening to, you know, proper news, which is all just so relentlessly depressing at the moment.
Yeah.
I think, well, it's hard, isn't it? I mean, obviously, my husband works at the university, so it does feel like it's a big presence.
But 150,000 people in the town, they can't all work for the university, can they?
No, no, no. I mean, you know, it's got a really sort of busy city centre. I mean, there's lots of interesting restaurants and there's a couple, you know, some really good museums and galleries and things like that. But it is a big presence here, I think, you know.
Oxford's getting quite the reputation, the culinary reputation, isn't it? It's becoming a fairly serious food city. Do you care much about food in that sense?
No. It's okay here, but you know,
okay, it's been talked
to go
out
to, back to London to go out, really. Yeah, I mean, you know, there's good pubs and things like that, but it's getting better. It's definitely getting better, I think.
It's
taking a while.
The food's been elevated above its current station.
Possibly. It's just the excitement of being able to go to restaurants again. I mean, it's all great, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. I've come across a couple of funny names for your coffee shops. One's called Gulp Fiction. But this is a rhetorical question. Coffee in the UK, is it ever as good as Kiwi coffee?
Well, I don't think I'm allowed to say yes, am I?
No.
No, that would be too controversial. You can get, I hate to say it, but you can get really good coffee here, even in Oxford. There's one place that does good coffee. Yes, but I haven't been back to New Zealand for such a long time, so maybe I, you know, can't really comment on that.
I'm glad you whispered that last part of it. So being where you are, I mean, proximity is fantastic, isn't it? Because I think you spend parts of summers in France. You're able to do that.
Yeah.
Are you going to do that this summer as well?
Yeah, so we didn't go last year, which was really sad, and I've forgotten how truly dreadful the weather is here in summer. So this year we go to the same place each year. It's in southwest France. It's about an hour south of Toulouse, and it's just in the middle of absolutely nowhere, but it's really beautiful. It's completely deserted, and the weather is just fantastic, guaranteed endless sunshine. I looked at the weather forecast, and it's actually 41 degrees there already. So
wow.
I'm a bit nervous that it might just be too hot.
Yeah, 41 is getting up there.
And it's only June, yeah.
Yeah, and it's only June. So 38 colleges in Oxford, as you say, many of which are strikingly beautiful. There's the Museum of Natural History. There's the Pitt Rivers Museum.
Mm-hmm.
Treasures. That must be quite a sight, actually. Treasures from around the world. It's a vast collection there, isn't it?
Yeah. There is lots of stuff to see aside from the colleges.
And you can even discover Oxford's backwaters on a punt, can't you? And I think you can go on the actual race course, can't you, where they race against Cambridge?
I don't know about that. I don't know about that, but we have tried punting. It's quite hard work, and it's quite easy to lose the punt in the river and fall overboard and all of that. There's definitely a technique to it which I haven't mastered.
You see, it never looks like hard work, does it, in the films? How long can you see yourself living there? Because it sounds like at some stage the pull of London will reel you back in, but it all depends on Ian's job.
So we're in London most weekends.
Are you?
Okay. Yeah, and the three of us were just saying how much we'd like to live there again. But I don't know. And then, you know, like today, the weather's glorious here. And, you know, it's a really lovely neighbourhood. And I think, oh, well, you know, would we be mad to move back? So I don't know.
Quandaries.
Yes.
But you're happy in your work, for example. I mean, the painting's going well.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, it's, you know, it's great. Actually, Oxford's a great place to work. There aren't so many distractions. I seem to be getting a lot more work done.
When's your next big exhibition?
I've got a show here in September, and then I think something in the art fair in Auckland in November. It didn't happen in March. I think it's been moved to November, and then another show in New Zealand early next year, I think.
Have you ever walked into a place, not knowing in advance, and seen one of your paintings on a wall?
No, I haven't actually.
That would be quite strange when it happens.
It would be quite strange. It would be a bit of a shock.
Do you think, Emily, do you think you will ever return to New Zealand?
Well, like I said, I would like to find a way where I could spend more time each year in New Zealand.
But not to live.
Well, it's hard to say. I mean, I don't know. It would be hard for Ian to live in New Zealand.
Yeah, sure.
I don't know.
Because Ian's a professor in Irish history, isn't he?
Yeah.
And I notice he does some quite successful lectures. So there might not be quite the same demand for that on this side of the world.
No, it's not the right field, really, is it?
Although there are a lot of Irish people of Irish descent in New Zealand.
True.
He'd have a catchment. They'd come along here and talk at the very least. All right, so the future is shrouded, as it were. But of the things, apart from the coast of New Zealand and all the people that you've left behind, are there things sometimes you think back across the oceans that you really miss?
Well, it's people, isn't it? I mean, that's the big thing. Yeah, I mean, the food, I miss the food. I mean, I guess I just miss the way of life a bit. I don't know. It's been such a long time now. It's, you know, it's hard in a way to imagine it.
It's quite a different way of life. I remember when, I haven't travelled much to the UK, but I remember when I first went there, I kind of expected it to be quite a lot like New Zealand, and it's quite a lot not.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I think, you know, I mean, it's winter for 9 months of the year for a start. I think that changes how you live. Yeah.
That doesn't sound like a strap line for Come Visit Britain, does it? Winter, 9 months of the year.
No. It's actually 11 months of the year in our house, it's winter. you don't come for the climate, do you? But maybe living in Oxford actually is a little bit more like I remember living in New Zealand. You know, it's easier to get things done. It's a smaller city, you know. There's more, I'm outside a lot more, you know, you're more aware of nature and things like that.
But you're an inside person, so maybe that's partly the reason you put those things into your outside paintings.
I think there is something in that. Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, lovely to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you too.
Emily Wolfe in Oxford.